And good morning, everyone. And what a delight to be together again. I'd like to also begin with another video here, and this is from the Bible Project. And as we focus on this time of year where we worship our Savior Jesus Christ, and Christmas is all about the birth of our amazing, spectacular Savior, we'll be diving into the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And John wrote these in it appears that he was the one that is called the disciple that Jesus Christ had a very special affection for, because he was always focusing on love. God is love. But we'll be diving into that here. But I'd like us to listen to a video here by the Bible Project giving the overview. And please listen very carefully. I've already listened to it 4 times, and I'm looking forward to the 5th time, because each time I catch things that I missed. And it gives an excellent overview, and it helps us to see the challenge that goes on behind the scenes in churches, even in the days of following the ascension of Jesus Christ 50 years later. And this book brings out the complications and what was going on behind the scenes and what our focus needs to be. And John just brings out 3 very simple but very profound principles that are brought out here in this very first chapter of 1 John. So let's listen carefully, and please pay special attention, and then think of any questions that you might want to ask that we can discuss afterwards during the fellowship time. All right, then let's let that video fly. Well, that was the 5th time that I listened to it, and it is absolutely spectacular. I hope you all enjoy it, and hope you can listen to it 3 or 4 or 5 more times yourself. Let's begin with prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you very, very much for your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we enter into this season of year where we focus on the very birth into this flesh of our Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son, we are just blown away with what we are learning, especially in this book written by your apostle, the one that was so special to you when you walked this earth. And so, Father, we just ask your blessing now as we focus on your word. Your word is priceless to us, and your word is your Son. And you gave your actual written word so that we could know him better, and that we could have that eternal life abiding in us. And what a priceless gift this is. And God, we thank you for being so good to us, in spite of the fact that we deserve nothing, because we are flawed and we are weak and we have sins that we struggle with. But you have given us your grace, and that is beyond comprehension. So, Father, we just thank you for loving us with your eternal, everlasting agape love. And we just commit this time to you as we focus on your priceless word. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, as we dive into 1 John, I'd like us to get the big picture here, as was brought out in the Bible Project, of what John was really impressed with, because it brings out right here in the beginning that God, he wants to describe him in 3 very simple but yet profound ways, that God is life, light, and truth, and also love. But I like life, light, and love, because each one of them is unique in its own way. And so let's take a look at 1 John verse 1 of chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, because they were right there with Jesus, and it says, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. And it's all about life. God, Jesus Christ said in the main book of John, John chapter 10 and verse 10, he says, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. And if there's anything that I share with people who want to know more about Christianity, is that it is the good life. It is the awesome life, because it's the way God designed us to live, to be living with a spirit of humility. It's the kind of relationship that you want to have with people, where it is based on the abundant life, love, and staying away from anything that causes any kind of harm to anyone. And these deceivers that brought out in 1 John 2 and then 2 John and 3 John that began teaching contrary to this, we have to be very careful all through the Bible. And these two books of the 2 and 3 John focus on these deceivers that are going around to get people's minds off of Jesus Christ, because he is the life. He is the light. He is the love that makes life precious and priceless beyond comprehension. And so he says, if anybody doesn't believe this, we're telling you for an absolutely profound fact that we touched this individual. We saw him rise from the earth and go up into the clouds and go back to the Father. And we spent 3.5 years with him and we saw him crucified and so on. And he's saying this here, we've touched this man who is the word of life. He is the life. The life appeared, he says, and we have seen it and testify to it. So we are eyewitnesses and we proclaim to you the eternal life. And as the main book of John chapter 17 and verse 3 brings out, he says that this is eternal life, that you know the Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And so this book helps us to get to know Jesus Christ and the Father. And he brings out and tries to simplify it so that we can wrap our minds around it in this very explicable way of describing God as being like life, light, and love, and how each of these things can appear in our life because the very Creator and the Son of God, as well as the Father and the Holy Spirit, lives in us and gives us that true life, that true light, that true love that is a genuine outgoing concern for others and is not all-consuming like the human nature that we have to deal with. And so he goes on in verse 3. He says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. You know, there's no doubt about it. He was here. He was God in the flesh. He did amazing miracles. It even says that if all the things that Jesus did while he walked on this earth were written in the books, there wouldn't even be enough books to write it all. And we have all the cream of the crop right here in the Bible, in the Word of God, where we can read this so that we can know the truth. And the Word of God is the truth so that we can know what the truth is. Otherwise, you just have to go on what somebody says. Now, this is actually written out for us so that we can read it and trust it. So we proclaim, and he's talking about the disciples, because they were right there. We proclaim to you, and this is some 60 years afterwards when John was up in 90 AD, he was probably pretty close to that himself. But anyway, it says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And that's the beautiful thing. That's why I tell people that I love the fellowship time afterwards where we talk about God's word and see how what we've learned in the sermon and how it applies to us and what we can actually have incorporated into our lives so that our lives can even be more abundant and more on track and in the light and more of that love that comes only from God, that true unconditional love. And so he says, this is what we can have fellowship with, and this is what we can share with people, is this true abundant life. I mean, I'm just overwhelmed at what God has blessed me personally with individuals I know I can trust that are friends. They are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who are led by Jesus Christ, and that we're going to be together for eternity, and that we will be spirit beings just like Jesus Christ was after his resurrection, where he ascended up into the clouds. And that's what's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns. We're going to, just like Jesus ascended up in the clouds, we are going to ascend up into the clouds with Jesus. And then Zechariah 14 brings out, we're going to go with him over to Jerusalem and begin setting up God's government on this earth and take Satan and put him in that abyss so that we can have a whole different world, that Satan will not be deceiving anybody for 1,000 years. What an exciting truth to think about. But now we get into this next verse, and it says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, the Holy Spirit is the one who is writing this. So Father, Son, and Spirit are all involved here, but the Holy Spirit is glorifying and honoring the Father and the Son. So we write this to make our joy complete. Because just in case we were wondering, actually, John did not write this. The Holy Spirit wrote it through John. Just like God tells us that we need to make sure that whatever we say, that we actually speak the words of God. When you let the Holy Spirit speak through you, those will be the very words of God, or they can be if we ask him to, and that we surrender to him and ask him to use us however he sees fit to be a blessing so that we can fulfill what he commanded us before he ascended. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, and so on. This is what we're supposed to be doing, to share this good news. Don't hog it, just keep it inside and just stuff it, but rather share it with people that you see are open-minded and want to know more about Jesus Christ, and that he is, in a very simplistic way, he is true life. When you have Jesus Christ living in you, you can have the abundant life, where you have the very character of God living inside of you, so that you don't have to worry about sin because he's already conquered sin. And if you slip up and fall, he's already paid the penalty for that, but you don't want to go there because all that does is cause more grief for yourself. So he is the life. But notice what it says now. We write this to make our joy complete so that you can have the true abundant life that is full of joy, that's full of peace, that's full of patience and gentleness and meekness and humility and self-control, the very things that everybody wants, but wants to get it on their own terms and wonder why it doesn't work. So now verse 5, he dives into what is said in the Bible Project. This is the message. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. And I was just thinking, it's so beautiful this time of year when you drive up and down the streets at night and you see homes that are all lit up with these beautiful lights. And I know the comparison with that and who God is there's no comparison, but they are beautiful. And none of us has ever seen God. I mean, we couldn't look on him and live, but it says God is light, and I'm quite certain that he's not ugly. I'm sure he's beautiful and spectacular, but I was just thinking that during this Christmas season, as we see these beautiful lights, that it can just remind us that God is light, and he is beautiful, and we can look forward to the true light and how amazing that is going to be. And the amazing fact that God's word says that when Christ does return, that we are going to be like him. I still can't wrap my mind around that. That's just incomprehensible, that we're going to be like Jesus when he comes back and we are raised from the dead and we are resurrected and we rise in the air to meet him. That should be on our minds all the time. That's our goal. That's what's going to happen. Why would we want to mess with anything on this earth that isn't worth the price of putty in Norway? It just puts things in perspective. And that's what John's trying to do here. I'm just going to simplify things. John says, who is this God? Well, he is light. What does light do? We know that when the new heavens and the new earth come, wherein dwells righteousness, God the Father is going to come to this earth. It says, I saw a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned to her husband. And he says, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will be with them, and he will be their God. And it's just exciting to think about that. and in the fact that when he has the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwells righteousness, that there's not going to be any more sun, moon, and stars in the way we see it. It's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And God is going to be the light thereof. And guess who else is going to be light? Because God is in us now, just as in a very minute way compared to the way it will be when we are composed of spirit and we are actually like Jesus Christ when he returns. But we will be light too, because we'll be like him. And so anywhere you go, you are going to bring light with you. And I still, no wonder it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And so it's just exciting to just even guessing what it might be like. It's just so exciting. So this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. And light is beautiful and it's magnificent. In him there is no darkness at all. When you don't see anything, I can't even imagine what it would be like to be blind, where you can't see anything. And then to all of a sudden be able to see, it's because of light. And that light comes into your eyes and you can see things, and it's just phenomenal. But when we are not walking in the light, and God is light, and we're not in obedience to him, then we are walking in darkness and we don't know what we're doing. We're stumbling around. We can't see anything. We're blind as a bat. So it says, and if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness. Here he says it again, like he says in 1 John 2 and verse 4. He says, if we say we walk in the light, that we lie and we do not live by the truth. So if you're going to continue to be a part of this world and living the way the world does, and it's all about me, and it's all about get, rather than give and serve and love and care like Jesus Christ does, and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they're constantly giving us and extending grace, extending forgiveness. No wonder Jesus Christ says, if you don't forgive others, neither will my Father forgive you. Because that's the whole mission behind conversion, is to forgive, because we have been forgiven. And if you can't forgive somebody else when you have been forgiven, why would God want to forgive you when you're not willing to give it to somebody else when he's given it to you freely? It just makes sense. And so God wants to make sure that we're going to be walking like he does. And it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, oh, I know God, you know, I've been attending church for 50 years and I know God and I know the Bible. I don't need to read it. I already know what it says. God says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, you're just like anybody else and you're just walking, stumbling around, trying to figure out which direction is up because you're walking in darkness. God says, you's a liar. You are lying and do not live by the truth. How are you not living by the truth? Well, I always, everything that I say, I try to say from the bottom of my heart, I'm trying to be truthful. And the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So you can't come up with truth on your own. Truth is right here in the scriptures. Jesus Christ, he is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. So that's our foundation that we walk on. Jesus Christ is that rock we build our home upon. And so he goes on to say, but if we walk in the light, how do you walk in the light? That's by having Jesus Christ, who is the light, living in you. And that's something that takes place every day. When you get up in the morning, you say the inward man, the Bible says the inward man, that's the spiritual man, is renewed day by day. And so when you get up in the morning, you pray and you say, Father, I want you to live in me. Let the Holy Spirit live in me. Jesus, live your life in me. Get me out of the way. That's what I say. God, I don't want to run my life. I want you to run my life. I am done running my own life, and I want to live the way you want me to live. And then he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what happens? We have fellowship with one another. This is the beautiful thing about the church. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church, we are the church. We are that bride-to-be of Jesus Christ. If we believe in Jesus Christ and let him live in our lives, and we humble ourselves before him, we read his word so that we have the very life of Jesus Christ being incorporated into our lives so that we live like he did. He says, then we have fellowship, true fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from every sin. And this last part here is just off the chart. This is phenomenal when you think of it, because I hear this so many times from so many people. I just screw up all the time. Well, I tell them, join the club. We all screw up, but we don't want to. We keep turning back to God and say, God, thank you for your grace that you extend to us freely that we do not deserve. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your grace. And he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from every sin. That's past, present, and future. Because he loves us. We are precious to him as Jesus is precious to the Father. We read in 1 Peter in previous sermon. But he goes on to say, if we claim now to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us, because God says there is none righteous, no, not one. Does that mean we could just go around and do whatever we want? No, not at all. It just means that as long as you are in the flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and we stumble and we fall and we make mistakes. But God loves us just like he loves you, love a little child that is maybe 6 months old or a year old or whatever and still messing in their diaper, and you have to go in there and clean up all the stuff that is not all that savory. Well, that's the way God looks at it. He cleans us up, and we mess in our britches, so to speak, but he cleans it. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim we have not sinned, you try to pretend that, well, I'm a Christian, and you try to make everybody think that you're better than you really are, because the Bible says you're not perfect, but you need to become perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. But if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. God wants us to be humble and to realize who we are and how desperate we need Jesus Christ to live in us in order for us to have his righteousness instead of our own. Our own righteousness, God says, is like filthy rags, because it's all based on selfishness and it's based on human nature. So if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. And those are very encouraging words that you can share with someone else who is struggling and feeling like, you know, the words I've heard more recently than anything is, I just feel like a failure. I'm a failure. And the word failure kept coming up in two or three different people's lives in the counseling. And these scriptures are priceless, priceless. It says right here that we're going to have this battle until we kick the bucket. But we don't have to worry about it, because we keep getting up off of our knees and after we pray and just launch into it again and say, God, thank you for your grace, because I want to serve you. I want to worship you. I want to obey you for the rest of my life. So here John brings this out, and we'll get into more about it, about chapter 2 in the future. As in chapter 4, it gets into how God is love, and we'll find out more about these other three things, life, light, and love, and how God's truth reigns supreme in us when Jesus Christ is living in us. So let's take a moment and just pray and just thank God for Jesus. And as we focus on this season of this year, when we see these lights, let's just say, Lord, thank you that you are the light of the world, and that you are giving us your light so that we can be a light just like you are to everyone else, so that they can come out of darkness into your glorious light. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you very, very, very much for your word. Your word is a person. Jesus is in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And we thank you that you are also a person. You are the very Son of God, and your Father lives in you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit abides in you. And what a gift to have you living in us. You've said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're asking. Father, help us to let your mind live in us as it lived in Jesus. And so, Father, we just thank you for this priceless gift of your Son. And we just ask you now during this Christmas season that we will not be so caught up in gifts and gift giving that we forget the very reason for the season is to worship you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and to thank you for giving us forgiveness of sin, for giving us the true light that drives darkness away from us so that we don't have to be a part of the darkness of this world, but we can have your true light shining through us, through your priceless word living in us. And so, Father, just help us to stay focused on your word, to be reading your word daily and constantly, and to be feasting during this Christmas season, feasting on your word and your Son, Jesus Christ, and letting him live his life in us so that we can become just like you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.